the street.
On the dark end of the street.
To the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road.
To the dark one low.
On the bright side of the road.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. Had a lovely bank holiday and we're back. Live in the studio with some fantastic guests for this afternoon. So you're listening to Who Cares Wins Radio Show on channelradio.co.uk. And I'm joined, as always, by my delightful, wonderful friends who are, drum rolls, of course, we've missed those, haven't we? Yeah, we've missed those. So thank you, Sue. Okay, that was Sue Parker. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
And of course, the delightful Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And of course, the wonderful, the one and only DJ, Jan calls me. I'm Angela, Angela Bryer Stevenson. And then, of course, to my left is our lovely guest this afternoon in the studio, Jane Chapman. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Angela.
Hello. Well, hello. Thank you for coming down. It's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio and to see your smiling face.
Thank you so much.
And later on the phone, all technology working perfectly, and as long as my fingers do the proper dialings, we will have the marvellous Louise Cox Chester of Mindfulness at Work Limited. I know Louise is listening. She's been tweeting, strumming away fingers. What's it she says? Strumming her fingers to Simple Minds when she was listening to Channel Radio earlier. So hi, Louise, and we will speak to you later on this afternoon. So what's been happening? Well, we've had some time out, we've switched off, and I hope you all did have some lovely sunshine and some vitamin D out in the sunshine. Although I did see a few burnt bodies going home on that bank holiday Monday.
Not good.
I think people went a bit OTT and they were out there and like, yes, here's the sun, this is our summer's day. So unfortunately, I was going, well, actually for me, I was going in the right direction. I was heading back down to Kent and everyone was coming home on the motorway. And unfortunately, they were stuck in traffic jams. They were sitting there. And I thought, I wonder if they're being mindful while they sit there and make use of sitting in a traffic jam. Which, of course, if you're being mindful, you can make use of those occasions when you are stuck. And you have to be aware of the present moment because there is nothing else. You can't get anywhere, you can't go anywhere, and you can't change anything. So it was interesting to see all these people getting quite irate. Some people were playing football on the hard shoulder. Why is it football always comes out when there's people stuck around? So yes, interesting stuff. We've got a few updates. And since last on air, we had a wonderful email from Mary. Hello, Mary, if you're listening to us from St. Mary's Bay. We had a beautiful email from her. She's listening in. And so we said that we would say hello. So all together now. Hello, Mary. And we also have people that are coming in telling us if they would like certain songs played. So if you want to let us know, email us, tweet us, all the normal fashion on Channel Radio. I'm saying Mary, it's Gwen. Why am I saying, oh, do you know why I'm saying Mary? Because Mary's written here from the updates that we've had with the auction with Mary from last time she was on.
But so it was she's Gwen that emailed us, wasn't it?
It was Gwen that emailed us, and it's Mary that's doing all the auction stuff. She had a fabulous time, didn't she? I think you went down there, didn't you, Sue, with the auction or the... No, it was the event day she had on the Friday, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, a lot of the school children were coming in and being shown round because they're doing a lot of the fundraising, really. It was a really, really good day.
You remind everybody who Mary is.
Yes, Mary. Yes, well, we were doing Mary Daly is a lady who's helping. Well, she's kind of the face of the fundraising for the MS Centre in Canterbury. They're going to be and hopefully be building a new centre, which they really do need. And they've been madly fundraising, so there's loads of events coming up.
And I know that you're involved in some of the prizes that you're donating to raise some funds there, Sue. So fantastic stuff. She's shy, retiring in the corner now, but some fantastic stuff there. So, yes, that was Mary. So, of course, she's in my brain there. But, yes, of course, Gwen, thank you. So we need to say hello again.
Hello, Gwen.
Yay, we get it right eventually. That's why this programme works, because we're human. We're human beings. We're not robots. So there's lots of buttons around me. I do sometimes feel like a robot. Inline Magazine, just to remind you all, the magazine that the lovely Donna sends around various households of Canterbury and beyond, that will be out at the end of this month for the June edition. And in June's edition, we have our page, wellbeing page, and we focus on all the information we got from the last few shows last month on backs. Everything to do with back pain, certain apps, some of the guests that we had on the show, and our own experiences and hints and tips for you. So that'll be out at the end of June. So look out for that. There's various distributors.
The end of May for the June edition.
Thank you. Did I say the end of June?
You did.
Oh, I'm wishing my life away. See, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, I'm so excited to be back in the studio. What else did I have on my list? See, I've got a list now, Jan. You're working wonders with me. What else did I have? Something else on my list. It's gone now. I suppose what I could do is really talk a little bit more. Jane, you're sitting there very well behaved, I must say. I don't know if you watch Graham Norton, or any of your listeners out there watched Graham Norton at the weekend, but he had Alan Sugar. And Alan Sugar decided to take over the red chair zone, which is where Graham Norton interviews certain people that come in from the public. And Alan Sugar said, you know, look, I think I could help you improve this stuff. And one of the things he did is to interview the victims, as he called it. Not that you're a victim, Jane. And he said that one of the key things is to, you know, straight in, get to the point, is NAL. So it's name, age and location. Well, we don't need you to divulge your age unless you wish.
I don't mind.
But Jane, for our listeners, if you could perhaps just tell us a little bit about Jane Chapman, who you are, where you've come from, where you landed,
okay,
and what you're up to, what you do.
Okay, thank you, Angela. My name is Jane Chapman, and I actually landed here this afternoon, probably rather late because I got lost, and those of you who know me will know that I get lost usually, but I arrived in time for the show, thank you. I am a development consultant and my business is Positive Steps. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and coach and all sorts of other things as well.
Many talents.
Yeah. And I'm here today because my good friend Angela has asked me to come and talk about my experience of mindfulness and how it's supported me over the last few years, and I'm delighted, I have to say, Angela, to be here.
Oh, it is an absolute pleasure. It's something that I think we've known each other for many years now. It must be at least 10. Oh, I think I was trying to
longer,
remember this
I
morning.
Think longer.
And so we've often talked about this being mode and being caught up in the corporate life and being caught up in corporate delivery and getting caught up with being a coach. Often And clinical hypnotherapy is give, give, give.
Yeah,
funny
absolutely.
Enough, Sue and I were talking about it this morning about how we often are in a world where we do tend to give, give, give to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you also came to mindfulness through a discovery rather than where some people, and we'll talk to Louise a little bit later on some of the formal courses that people will explore because of their interest. But yours is in, I wouldn't say a happier time, but you did discover it through obviously having a very serious illness, which I know you're quite happy to share with us.
Absolutely, yes. Do you want me to do that now?
Well, let's just let's tap into, if you don't mind sharing with the listeners, because I think it's important. We've talked about it a little bit on the show with mindfulness, and we've had also some meditations guided by Sue over the last few weeks, and I think it's important for the listeners to realise that we're not always about just telling people that this is what they should do and what is out there and go on a course. It's inside of all of us.
Yes.
And I think for you, and knowing you very much as a very good friend, but also from your own experience of that horrific journey from me looking out, looking in. But actually what you, if you like, were forced to then think about, if that's the right word.
Yes,
You'll say it much better than I will.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Angela, Well, I was unfortunately quite poorly about 2.5 years ago. I was diagnosed with breast cancer, which hit me like a brick, as it would anybody, really.
Mm, absolutely.
And it was a high-speed train coming towards me, and everything that I had ever held true, the focus of my life, the structure around my life, just collapsed in an instant.
Yeah.
And all of the survival mechanisms that I had as a human being, but also in my line of work, because obviously I'd spent many years helping other people in those sort of situations. So I sort of intellectually knew, but actually going through that experience myself. And when I got the diagnosis, I can remember it as if it was yesterday, but the actual surgeon just said to me, "Jane, this is not about saving your life. It's about lengthening your life, if we can. But I need to operate immediately, because otherwise it's not going to happen."
Yeah.
So, as you can imagine, well, I don't know whether you can imagine, but it was a dreadful time. So things happened very, very quickly for me. I had surgery, and then just a few weeks later, I had two lots of surgery. I had a lumpectomy, a mastectomy, and then a month later, I went into chemo and then radiotherapy.
It was all, I know it was a very, very whirlwind, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind. I had a very aggressive tumour, and it wasn't very nice. So obviously, I had to stop work. And actually, it's interesting, because only a few months before, you know, I'd been working too hard. I'd had a lot of responsibilities with home and family.
Yeah.
And I'd said to a close friend, you know, I don't want to do this anymore.
Really?
And in hindsight, maybe it was my body's way of actually telling me, you know, Jane, we've heard what you've said.
Yeah, we've listened.
We're going to knock you off your perch, which it actually did. So
that's a major knock.
It was a major knock, but I have to say, a very humbling experience as well. And so that was really when I started to, well, first thing I did was panic. And then I realized, I hyperventilated, you know, all of the things that you do.
I'm sure.
Everything I held true just disappeared in an instant. And then something came, I don't know what it was. I don't know at the time whether it took hours or a few days. But I either chose, or something happened where I felt I had to survive, and I desperately wanted to survive. And not only survive, but I you know, I was beginning to see life in a very, very different way. And I wanted to appreciate the here and the now. And I hadn't heard about mindfulness, which is quite interesting in my profession, because it's all around. But for me to get through that awful time, I really just focused on the here and the now, because that was the only way I could. And in the first few days, weeks, it was minute by minute, and then hour by hour, and then day by day. And then it was only probably several months into being diagnosed, having surgery and having treatment, that I gave myself the luxury of thinking that maybe I could still be around next month, or even next year.
Whoa.
But at those early days, I had to live very much in the moment. And I chose to experience that in a way that was supportive, and I called it being, and me being me, the nature of me. I read lots of books, I googled everything. And I read a book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now.
Oh yes, yes.
And that sort of resonated with me, and that was a lifesaver. And I went on to read a raft of other books as well. But in my little cocoon, which is what I was in, I chose to be in my little cocoon.
Yeah.
And I lived my life hour by hour, day by day.
Mm.
And when I was having what was sometimes, I mean, I used to make light of it, but what was sometimes quite hideous treatment.
Yes, I'm sure.
I actually just stayed with it and thought, here I am, either having needles put in my arm or stuck in this machine and don't really like this, but actually it's not so bad. How do I actually feel right here now?
Amazing.
I actually feel okay. At this particular point in time, I have pain, or I don't have pain. Yeah. But when I did have pain, I knew that that pain wouldn't last. So I guess I did work with other tools that I had in my toolkit.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
But for me, it was, all I can say, it was amazing. But it came from within. It didn't yes. come from anyone else. It wasn't that I went to a workshop no. or, you know, I was introduced to it. It came from within. Mm. And it was my life saviour. And continues now.
Good, I mean, that's great to
things,
hear.
I mean, I've moved on now, and I'm back in the workplace, and I'm meeting lots of lovely people like you guys.
And potentially starting to get possibly caught up, which we'll talk about a little bit later with that treadmill that we explained on some other shows.
You know, and I'm practicing mindfulness and being in the moment, and the whole experience actually has been very, very humbling, I have to say. And
well, it's fantastic
it's
great, to see
yeah.
you here today. But, and also, I obviously saw you fairly shortly after your treatments or going through your treatments. And as with many people that go through the treatments, I hold my hats off to them. You are such an inspiration, everybody of you out there as well. We're going to have a bit of tune now because, Jane, you've chosen this record to play.
Is
very dear to my heart, funnily mm-hmm. enough, because it has very strong emotions. And I promise not to cry, Sue.
But I might.
Yes, I know that you also have a very strong link. So if you would, just before we go for the tune, if you would just highlight to the listeners what it means. It's a very aptly named song, but also there's some other link, isn't there,
yes,
Jane?
Yes, there is. It's a What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong, and I've chosen this song for several reasons, one of which it's one of my most favourite songs. It was the first record that I ever bought.
Oh, showing her age.
And my father, who I didn't know so well, he was a jazz musician. And it reminds me of him, and I didn't get to know him so well. So, and of course, it is such a wonderful world, and it really is. And I don't mean that in a cheesy way,
no.
But you know,
yeah.
this experience, I am so happy to be alive, and it's such a wonderful world.
And it's such a wonderful world to have you still in it, Jane. So thank you,
thank
and
you.
Listeners, do enjoy.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, and much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
And breathe. Well, there's a tear in my eye. There's also Amanda, welcome. Hello out there. She's just tweeted. It made me cry as well. She played that at her wedding, which again very apt because snap, Amanda. It was played at my blessing. Some very apt words in there, Jane. And also we've got a tweet from Louise. Hello, ladies. Thanks for the intro. And she's looking forward to speaking to us later on. So we're going to get Louise on the phone probably in about another 10 minutes. So, Jane, I just wanted to explore further. You mentioned that you are and you're still practicing, if I can use that word.
Yes.
Explain to the listeners what you mean by that. What do you do when you say that you're still being? Because you're getting caught up in this corporate world of working and you're running your own business again. Aren't
yes,
you? You're not
I
employed,
am.
You're out there doing it for yourself. So there's this, how could you, you know, not get brought back and drawn back into that frantic world out there? And what practice do you do?
Well, yes, very interesting for me, really. I had a year off when I was poorly and I was able to, I guess, live with my own rhythm of life. And coming back into the workplace, back into the world, not just the workplace, but back into the world, it's a very, very different rhythm out there. Mm. And I didn't want to get back into that rhythm as I had before because I was completely burnt out before. And I didn't have the physical capacity to do that either. Mm. And although I felt well, I felt that I'd been given another chance in life, I guess. And, well, I have, and it's wonderful. So I wanted to live my life very differently and really listen to my body. And being mindful, or being, as I refer to it, really, really supported that. Because for me, I had like 99.9% of other people, I'm living either in the past, thinking about what I've done, or in the future, planning for this. Now, it might even only be tomorrow, but it might be next week or whatever. And I recognize that I and probably many other people don't really live in the here and now. Yep. And it's actually a very, very, very good place to be.
Yes, it is.
And so some of the things I do now, and of course I am back out there, back in the rhythm of life and other people's rhythms, which of course I do find challenging.
Because you're just to interrupt you, you're doing, from my understanding, is a lot of coaching work, executive coaching, or classroom.
I do some coaching. I've been doing some classroom delivery, and having a lot of meetings with people. You know, traveling, all of the things that you need to do when you're self-employed, and it takes a lot of my energy, both physically and mentally. So what I do, I bring myself back to the present moment, and whether that be whether I'm sitting on a train or in my car or whether I'm at home, even the act of doing the washing up or the vacuuming.
Explain to the listeners, because they're now, I'm sure there's some tweets probably out there. When you say doing the vacuuming,
what's that?
Mindful vacuuming, there's a phrase. What is that?
Mindful vacuuming is actually it's how would I explain it? It's actually doing the vacuuming and noticing what's happening when the vacuum cleaner touches the floor, watching everything being sucked up, and that's a very good feeling.
Wow.
Noticing how I'm feeling as that's happening, and I find that it brings me into the present, very much into the present. Mm. Probably a better analogy would be washing up, for instance. So when I'm at the sink washing up, I do have a dishwasher, but occasionally I do wash up at the sink. For instance, if I'm washing a glass, then I'm feeling the soapy water, I'm feeling the warmth of the water, I'm feeling the temperature, the glass moving around in the bowl, and it centres me.
Yeah. Jan?
So the two examples you've given there, the hoovering...
Yes.
Vacuuming, sorry. and washing up are activities.
They're so activities, yes.
When you've been to a meeting and you're sitting on the train coming back...
Yes.
There's nothing really happening. So what I'm having trouble getting my head around is, how is that present? How do you analyse that? How do you appreciate that?
Okay, so what I would be doing, for instance, is... I get on the train and, of course, usually running for the train because I'm always late for everything. So I get on the train, sit down, find a seat. Yeah, absolutely. Get my coffee, get sorted, sit down. And I usually find that my head's all over the place. I might be thinking about the meeting that I've just had, what I need to do as a result of that meeting, who I need to call, who I need to email, etc., etc. And what I do then is I just sit there and focus in on myself. So I ask myself, how am I feeling right now? What's going on right now inside? Mm. And that might be focusing on my breathing, or it might be focusing on something, a feeling that I have in my body. And I find that immediately my body relaxes. And I don't consciously do it to become relaxed.
No, it's not. It's there is an added benefit, but absolutely, that's not the goal. There is no goal.
Absolutely. So, sorry, in that scenario, when you're planning a meeting, I would feel at that moment that I would probably be anxious, which my brain says, well, that's a negative thing. So how do you change that? How do I feel at the moment? I feel stressed, I feel anxious. How does that then mutate into a positive?
If I label it as I feel stressed, I feel anxious, actually, whereas before I used to then disappear into a dialogue in my head about what I needed to do, what I actually now find myself doing, and not always, because I am a human being, human doing, but what I find is that I let the thoughts come in and observe them, and I don't necessarily label them, or I park them for later. I acknowledge the feelings of stress or anxiety that I have in my body, and I say to myself, actually, this is how I'm feeling at the moment. My chest is feeling a little bit tight or whatever, and I just go with it.
Okay.
And that's what I found coming back to my whole experience of mindfulness. It isn't about, you know, sitting in a white fluffy cloud, and it's not about that. It's acknowledging absolutely what is going on at this present time.
And I think the important thing that I picked up there, Jan, is from my own experiences that it's also key. I've realized a lot about it's not labeling it as, oh, I'm feeling stressed or anxious and that's not good or that's negative, so I shouldn't be thinking that.
Yeah.
So what should I think to get myself into a positive state? It's very much acknowledging, I'm feeling stressed right now.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a pain in my chest right now. And then observing, and something you said, Jane, about how long that pain's gone on. And actually, is it dissipating now slightly? And whereabouts in my body is it? And has it linked to a feeling? And so in some senses, I suppose there's that dialogue, but it's more you're observing rather than being involved.
Right. And being curious. I think using that word curious, I use a lot now.
Yeah.
What's going on here? And it does automatically, for whatever reason, I mean, I don't know how the biochemistry of that works, but it does slow things down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there is that link. We mentioned it when, Sue, you were doing your breathing meditations a few weeks ago with our shows. But there is a, and I'm not claiming to be a scientist, so any scientists out there, please do tweet us if you can give us the exact. And I know Louise is probably shouting at the telephone at the moment trying to get through. And I'll ring you in a minute, Louise. But it is about the scientific links with the stress response, yes, versus the relaxation response. Mm. And so naturally with your breathing, you do kick in hormones, right, and
the
chemicals.
Autonomic nervous system, yeah, isn't
that's
it?
The word, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And there is a lot of research about, yes, how that links with the effects and the chemicals that flow. And so that's why one of the benefits of mindfulness can be relaxation, yes, and it can be less stress and able to deal with a stressful, frantic world and life, which I know Louise will be able to tell us some of her experiences as well and how she got into mindfulness and practices it herself. So for me, it's very much about not labeling, not judging, accepting. So that's how I feel right now. Mm. And that's okay. It's not, oh, this is bad, this is terrible. Yeah. And a lovely image that was given to me once about suppressing, you know, oh, I don't do stress now, just ignore it, it'll go away, is that if you try and push a balloon under on a load of water in a, say, a swimming pool, you know, if you try and suppress it, you push it under, you push it under, at some point it is going to shoot up, which is where we often have people that will just fly off because of one tiny thing, but actually it wasn't that tiny thing. No. It was a build up and a build up. You're nodding away at me, Sue, then.
Yes, fully agree.
And it is about being kind and compassionate, yes, to the self.
Yeah.
And I probably wasn't used to being kind and compassionate to me. And I've had to learn that. Or I haven't had to, but I've chosen to.
And like the result.
I do like the result. And I have to consciously bring myself back to that. But unless you can be kind and compassionate to yourself, you can't do that for others.
I fully believe in that.
It is
that saying, you can't love anyone unless you love yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree there.
There's that charity starts at home, but there's that you mentioned about it, is it came from within. And we were chatting just before the show, and it is very much that this mindfulness, what a label we give it, being, is that it isn't something new. It's not this newfound, you know, jargon or word, but actually it's something that's been inside and is inside all of us, whatever shape or form, stress, strains, lifestyle that we lead. It is, if we choose to look, it's there. And then it's that nurturing, and I always look at it as well being a nourishment, of nourishing my body by tuning into it, really. And then just noticing what I love the phrase, I notice what you notice.
Yeah.
Which is something, actually, yeah, that's right.
And just that.
Yeah. And, of course, talking about that manic, before we get to Louise onto the line, we have a very interesting song, which I think, again, is quite appropriate. It's funny, isn't it? Anyone would think we've chosen these specially. So have a little listen, and we shall get Louise on the line.
I was kissing Valentino by a crystal blue Italian stream. Channel Radio.
Welcome back. We are desperately trying to get hold of Louise, and so I'm going to keep trying because I would like to get my earphones, but I'm going to keep trying to get hold of Louise. But I am interested in the conversation we were having around, actually, if I'm completely new to this and perhaps don't come from a coaching or an NLP background, for example, then I still don't quite get this. So your question, Jan, earlier was actually very interesting about, well, how do you do it?
But also, just while the music was playing, I was asking that had Jane not been ill, would she have found mindfulness, or might she have come at it from a different direction or whatever? So I wonder if we could talk about around that a little bit more.
Yeah. Excuse me. That's an interesting question, because I can't say yay or nay, because I can't say what would have happened. But as I say, it was something for me that just evolved, mm-hmm. as it were. And it wasn't because of the background that I'd had in the development world, because, again, intellectually I knew a lot of things, but all of that was stripped away in an instant. And again, I didn't even consciously think, I need to find some special clever way to make this work. It wasn't like that. I mean, I admit I was absolutely terrified. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I had was that moment in my eyes. So I guess, as I say, it's very difficult to answer yay or no. Would I have come to it anyway? I perhaps would have explored it in a more intellectual way later on.
Right. Possibly through a course or...
Possibly through a course, because my work takes me that way. But no, not, certainly not. I think it just happened, if that makes sense.
And it was interesting when we were talking earlier, you said about the, and I asked about how you dispelled the stress and whatever, and you said it's not about finding that fluffy cloud, happy moment. I don't practice, and talking with Sue and Angela each week, I'm learning little bits as we go. And that really hit it on the head for me, because historically I've seen meditation and this sort of thing as being that sort of Zen moment. And yes, now what I'm picking up is it's not. It might lead to that.
Occasionally I do have, and it lasts about a millisecond, and I think, I've arrived. And then
we
it's gone.
Louise. So, hopefully, Louise, can I just check? Can you still hear us? Louise, are you there?
Can't hear her.
It's all gone quiet. Louise, can we hear you? Okay, I've lost Louise. I'll try again. So, carry on.
It's that millisecond, that almost that tennis racket sweet spot of getting the Zen moment.
That's very bizarre. Let me just check. No, she's definitely gone.
That's a dial tone, isn't it?
Okay, we'll try again.
So, the that perfect moment, millisecond, but...
Yes, and I think, you know, that... Is it Nirvana, reaching Nirvana? Yes, I'm not quite sure. I think I've been there, say, for a millisecond, but and that might, you know, in my normal, more formal meditation practice, that's different again.
Right.
But mindfulness as such is very different.
Okay. I think we may have Louise in a moment. So Angela's... Okay.
Hello.
Louise!
You can hear me.
Hello!
Anybody? Paul Andrews, our producer, is standing behind me now, so it will work. He's sending his vibes out. So welcome, Louise.
I'm so sorry that you'd been trying to get me early. I've been sitting here. If you'd seen me in my office, it was hilarious. I've been smiling, I've been singing along, I've been crying, I've been talking at my computer.
Well, welcome, Louise. It is fantastic to have you on the show at the same time as Jane.
And I definitely will come down. I'm so sorry I can't be with you today.
That's fine. Well, you're with us over the phone lines, and the powers that be, all is now working, which
fabulous.
Is fabulous. So just remind our listeners, Louise, that you are ringing in from wonderful Wingham, I am presuming.
Yes, I am,
and
from my
mindfulness retreat. Mindfulness retreat, but also Mindfulness at Work Limited that
you
set up.
Yes.
Back in 2010, is that right?
That's right. Yes.
So just absolutely. Remind the listeners, your aim for Mindfulness at Work Limited.
Yes. Well, I've been practicing mindfulness for nearly 20 years now, and I used to work in the city. And I would never have been able to do the job that I did and cope with the pressures of it and still be somebody who my friends and family wanted to hang out with if I hadn't had the incredible good fortune of having a neighbour who introduced me to mindfulness. And I could see how cool and collected and calm they were under stress. And I wanted to know, you know, how and why. And they told me about this thing they did called mindfulness, and so I badgered them to teach me. So my practice goes back a long way. Mm. And then, with the sort of advent of functional MRI scans and encephalographs, the science sort of caught up with my personal experience, and yeah. Science started to show that mindfulness practice actually changes the structure of the brain and helps you to be more positive and more focused. And have more empathy. And I thought, well, you know, I've been so incredibly lucky to learn this practice completely by chance and have it change my life for the better in the most incredible way. I really felt sort of it was, you know, I had to be of service and share this with other people. So with my business partner, Caroline Hopkins, and I, we founded Mindfulness at Work, and we train mindfulness to groups in the workplace, and that means that actually the training is very, very low cost. It's you know, from £65 per person for a 4-week course.
Fantastic.
So we've trained hundreds of people, and you know, our aim really was to set up a company that would help hundreds of thousands of people learn about mindfulness, learn how to practice it themselves, and have that opportunity that I've had.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know that your course is also accredited, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We are delighted to be accredited by the Royal College of Nurses. We've actually trained quite a few nurses and in places like the Children's Trust and Sussex Mental Health Trust. And coming back to Jane's experience earlier, we've been also training people in hospices, both the patients, the service users, and also the nurses, which has been something that Caroline and I really wanted to do from when we set up Mindfulness at Work. I mean, a lot of what we do is pro bono training or subsidized training for sort of special sectors of society that we feel, you know, really deserve it and need it.
Oh, that is fantastic to be able to do that.
Yeah, and we're just about to start 4 big research programs with Southampton University.
Right.
Which is for our mindfulness program for breast cancer, prostate cancer sufferers, and also for asthma and COPD sufferers as well. So that's incredibly exciting.
That is fantastic. Well, congratulations. Yeah. And do keep us posted. And we will, if there's any more news, we can obviously post that out on the shows
at
relevant points as well. Something that we were grappling around with earlier before the show, actually, Louise, that talking to Jan, is something came up about whether there's been any work or scientific study work, which I thought you probably would know out of all of us, on... Now, let me get this right, Jan.
ADHD.
There we are.
Yeah. In fact, I think what mindfulness is an antidote to ADHD or ADD, because our minds, the very nature of our mind is that it wanders off. And, you know, the two metaphors I use, one is, and this is what I think of my mind is that, you know, it's like this little kind of monkey that jumps. Each tree is some sort of idea I have, and it jumps from tree to tree. Oh, that's a nice mango there. Oh, this is, and you know, before you know it, that you know, your mind is over the other side of the forest, and you don't even know how you got there.
Yes.
And some people describe it as like a little puppy that's you know, always wandering off and going, oh, shiny thing. Oh, smelly thing. Mm. You know, and the idea is the whole practice of mindfulness really is to compassionately, kindly to yourself, when you notice that your mind has wandered off on to a subject that you hadn't intended to put your attention on, you very gently and kindly bring it back and you replace it on what you do want to have your attention on. Mm. And that practice is what we practice every day in many different ways. And ADD and ADHD are sort of maybe slightly more extreme versions of what we experience in our daily lives all the time. Mm. So I can look up and see. I'm pretty certain there is actually research that's been done on this. So
fantastic!
Delighted to share that with you.
That would be great, Jan.
Hi, Jan here.
Hello, Jan. Hello.
So another question on a similar theme: somebody with autism or Asperger's, where they are very focused rather than being flitty brain, would mindfulness be of any help, or would it be possible for somebody with Asperger's to do mindfulness?
There are programs underway at the moment on that, research programs, yes.
Excellent.
And it is a very interesting area. We've had quite a few people ask us about this, and there is definitely research. So again, I can come back to you and point you to that. But
thank
yes.
you.
I think the thing about mindfulness is it's a way of coming off the sort of autopilot,
yeah.
the kind of coming out of the kind of groove of doing things in a certain way, and it enables you to become the witness of your own thoughts. I mean, Jane was saying about observing.
Mm.
She talked about that a lot, and I wrote down with curiosity and underlined it, and then she said with curiosity and kindness as well to yourself. But you know, if you when you do that, you start to use a different area of your brain. You start to use your prefrontal cortex rather than your amygdala, which is your sort of fight or flight reactive area of your brain. And so when you start to do that, you start to have a little bit more the word control is wrong, but you are able to observe what is going on, and then you can make a choice to behave, mm-hmm. to respond in a different way. So pretty much, I wouldn't like to say everything, but I haven't really found anything yet that mindfulness doesn't really help with. maybe getting the shopping done. And certainly doing the washing up certainly makes it more enjoyable. But it does, it makes you much more aware. It's a deepened awareness. And our four-week course, the progress is thinking to doing to being. And then the fourth week we call aware, and that is what happens, is you have much, much greater awareness of what's going on, and you can tell the stories, you can observe the stories that your mind is telling you, which are probably often complete nonsense, and just smile and look at them and just say, interesting.
And it's it's interesting because that just reminds me of the raisin exercise, which Louise, you obviously do know about from going very furious of the 8-week programs that are often mentioned with mindfulness. But the raising exercise, for the listeners that don't know it, is actually taking a raisin, just one, from that big bag, and you go through a process of using all your senses to eat this raisin. But actually you are looking at it first in the palm of your hand, you're observing it, noticing it as if it's something you've never seen before. And you then feel the weight of it in your hand. You then move to smelling it. You move to hearing it, which is an interesting concept for a lot of people to hear a raisin. But it's fascinating what you can hear. And then noticing how the mind and the body work as one to do place it on your tongue. And then notice the sensations of what's happening. I'm already salivating just thinking about the raisin. And
you
having to swallow. But actually that whole process could take 5 minutes.
Well,
response, isn't it, where people say, my goodness, I need to give that attention to my wife or my spouse or my colleague that's talking. So yes, it does remind me of that awareness that you mentioned.
Yes, in week 3 of our course, we are really looking at the assumptions that we make, how we can, you know, create a story from literally one data point, and we do that all the time, and also how we assume that what we observe is the way that is it, whereas actually we know from looking at things in life is, you know, if you're looking at it from a certain angle and you walk as an object and you walk 5 feet to one, you know, one way or another, and you observe it, it looks very different. And I think that, you know, that with life, what mindfulness teaches is as Jane said earlier, is this kind of non-judging of just noticing things as they are and not naming them as good or bad, and having that kind of flexibility to be open to change. And I think what we're finding in the workplace, I mean, I've been asked by JP Morgan to go up and talk to their offices in Edinburgh later on this week as part of Mental Health Awareness Week, which starts next week. It's me in Edinburgh and it's Alistair Campbell in London.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite funny. Anyway.
It's a sentence.
I know. I'm nothing to do with them. But what's interesting is about how we can see things in a certain way, and we can't, we need to be able to sort of come a step back from things and to actually see things in a different way to be able to actually cope better with change. Because I think one of the things that people helps for people to become more resilient in this time of incredibly fast-paced change, whether it's technology or the structures of business changing or globalization, whatever it is, or the climate, we have really fast-paced change. And we have to start to be able to kind of get more comfortable with it, because actually it's the one thing we can be certain of in life. And so when we have beginner's mind and we look at things without judging and without wanting to control, then actually we can feel a lot happier within ourselves and enjoy life more.
Absolutely. And that's the key thing, to enjoy life. And as you say, to enjoy, you said, Jane,
the
actually the present is a great place to be.
Yeah. And it is all there is. Mm.
And we often lose it, don't we? We often lose what's going on, and we're focusing on the past, focusing on the future, and miss actually the, I won't swear on live studio, but miss the obvious, the bit in the middle. Mm. We need a longer programme, really, because we are fast running out of time, and Louise, it's just, we do need you back on
But
back
what
on the show.
I'd like to say, Angela, is that I so enjoy having you and Jane every month. At our Mindfulness Monthly with it in
the hall. Thank you, Louise.
It is such a pleasure. I always look forward to it. There's sometimes when I miss it, and I really miss it. Aww. And I would like to say that you know, it is open to anybody who'd like to come along. We'd love to have you with us. I actually met Jane through that, and we have, you know, you both bring, and Jane and the other people who attend all bring so much wisdom and wonderful experiences to the monthly meeting we have. So inspired are we by it that we're actually starting a mindfulness after work club in London now.
Fantastic.
For the people.
Wow.
Yeah, every other Tuesday in central London. I just wanted to say I really treasure the time we spend together, and you know, it's just such a pleasure to learn from both of you.
So when are the monthly meetings?
Well, it's the first Wednesday of the month, isn't it, Angela?
Yes, it is. First Wednesday of every month, and it's 6 till 7:30 at Witherden's Hall Retreat out in Wingham.
Yes, it's witherdenshall.co.uk, and I think we put on the courses and events page, I think we put it up there, and I think it's probably on the Facebook page as well.
Yes, I believe it is, but we can obviously on the radio show, as you're quite happy to, Louise, we can promote it through there too.
Well, I mean, delighted for people to come along and have a taste of it. And Jane and Angela run it beautifully.
Mm-hmm. That's Jane Dunsby you're mentioning.
Yes,
Jane Dunsby, who's also going to be on the show at some point in the future.
And so, you know, I it's a very, very important resource, and I'm absolutely delighted to host it here at Witherden's Hall, and I really enjoy it.
Well, we are very honoured to be at Witherden's Hall, because the retreat itself, for listeners, if you want to look at it for a completely separate issue as well, to actually go there and to switch off and be in the present, it is a beautiful place.
Thank you.
So do have a look there. So thank you, Louise. By all means, you can stay on the line if you need to, but we are fast approaching the end of our show. So I know we've got a couple of things we want to mention before we do close and disappear. So Jan, there's a event this, isn't it?
Yeah. Lots of events to mention, but no time, so they'll all be on the LinkedIn and on Facebook. But one to mention, in line with mindfulness, is May is National Walking Month.
Yay.
And in particular this week, the 13th to the 17th, is National Walk to Work Week.
Uh-huh.
So if you can walk, and if you can walk to work, try a mindfulness walk to work.
Yeah, take it slower.
Take it slower. Have a think about things.
Of that present moment. Absolutely. And our inspirational insight of the week, Sue, you've got a marvellous.
Yes, this is a quote from William H. Johnson. If it is to be, it is up to me.
Wow. I don't need to say any more, really. Well, all I really want to do is to thank both of my guests, both Jane Chapman, for coming down here all this way, out in the sticks, with the
thank
alpacas.
You. It's a pleasure.
On a glorious sunny day. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio with us and to talk about your story, albeit very brief. And there is a lot more to it. And again, we'll have you back, definitely, if you will have us too.
Absolutely.
And also for Louise joining us with technology and my fingers, probably. But we got there eventually, Louise. So thank you again for joining us on the show. Thank you to my presenters, to Channel Radio. Thank you to listeners, because without you, there's no point in us talking to four walls, really. So thank you, listeners. Do keep tweeting, do keep emailing us any information, and we will talk to you all next week. Bye for now.